Thank you, Stephen, and good morning, Church. Let's all pray together that God will help us as we open His Word. Great God of heaven, we lift our heads and our eyes to You now and pray that as we think upon the majesty of our great God and Saviour, that You will enlighten us. Oh God, it's such a marvellous and wonderful subject that humans like me are so incapable of describing just how great You are. Please help me. Help all this congregation to open their eyes and just see how great You are. Oh God, hear our prayer, because we need Your help. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stephen last week set us off on our studies in the book of 2 Peter, and he reminded us that 2 Peter was written to Christians who were under threat from people who had entered the church but who were false people and were teaching wrong things about Jesus Christ. And certain criticisms had occurred about the teaching and statements of the apostles. False teachers accused them of making up myths and stories about Jesus, which were not true. And especially they targeted the teaching that one day Jesus would return in great power and glory and become the rightful ruler of the world. Peter said, there are scoffers coming in among you, and they're saying things like this: Jesus promised to come again, did he? Well, it's about 40 years down the track since he said that, and he still hasn't come. Just as well they didn't live in 2017, eh? It's true, isn't it? He still hasn't come. And they said, look, everything just continues as it always was, ever since the creation of the world. What a lot of nonsense that one day Jesus will come in glory and power. And Peter very gently says to them, don't forget that a day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Actually, said Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord isn't really slow about His promise. Do you know why He hasn't come yet? He's being patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And my dear friends, this morning, the reason Jesus hasn't come yet is that out there in the world, perhaps in this building, there's somebody here who needs to come to Christ. And He's being patient with you, and He's saying, come to Me. Take hold of Me, trust in Me before I come. Because there really is, a judgment day ahead. And I want you to come to Me and repent of your sin. And in 2017, in which we live, it's true, isn't it? God's words and God's actions are under fire, even from within the so-called Church of God. There are people in the church who say, Jesus will never come again. That's a myth. And as for the fact that he was born of a virgin, what rubbish, that can never happen. And last week as I listened to the radio, as I was travelling in my car, there was a statement that went something like this. You know, people even believe today that a man walked on water? Come on. You see, the Word of God is under fire, as it was when 2 Peter was written. And that's what I love about the Bible. It's not an old fuddy-duddy book. It's right up to date. So let's hear how Peter answered these critics and their actions, and how he instructed us to take guard against the critics who try to undermine personal faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to read now our text this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 12. And we'll read down to verse 19. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry, just listen. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. I don't know why the elders gave me this passage. Perhaps they think it's my last one. That's how I feel. But hey, you know, it's a real lesson to us oldies, this passage. Because you know, you're never too old to be in God's service and of use for God. We sort of think, you know, service for God is for when you're young. But I reckon it's for when you're old. Thanks, Joan. That's so true. Anyway, I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. Now listen to this. Verse 16. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message that was proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay closer attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, in Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. And I'm going to read verse 22 because I think it's Jamie's going to talk about that in a couple of weeks' time. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So here were these false prophets within the church. How can I, as an individual Christian, how can we as a church guard against false teachers coming in among us? And there are two things that Peter says in this passage that are necessary for us to take heed. And the first one is this: the need to remind ourselves of the basics of our Christian faith. Verse 12, I will remind you of these things even though you know them and they are firmly established in them. Why should we have to keep reminding ourselves about the basics? I was thinking about a professional athlete. In our family, we do have one. She plays field hockey in the United States under scholarship. And when Anna comes home to New Zealand for a couple of months, she just arrived this week actually for her couple of months break. Yeah, I like boasting about my grandkids. She is the best scorer of goals in the East Conference of the United States of America. But you know, when she comes home, do you know what she does? She gets a little bucket of hockey balls and goes down to the turf down there in the, near the Esplanade, and she practices and practices ball after ball, puts them on the ground and whacks it into the goal when there's no goalie there. Why on earth does she have to do that? It's basic. If you play hockey, the idea is that you shoot goals, right? And if you're any good of it, gosh, it must be so simple. Well, I noticed that Anna does it time after time, even when she's on holiday here back in New Zealand. I will remind you of these things, the basic things. He says, I think it is right to refresh your memory. Soon I will leave this earthly life, so I am going to work hard to make sure you will always remember these things. You see, Peter knew that Christians were under persecution. The emperor of Rome was having followers of Christ crucified as Jesus was. And tradition has it, as Stephen told us last week, that Peter was crucified upside down. And before he departed this life, Peter had given all that he remembered about Jesus to a young man whom he was mentoring. You know who he was mentoring? Mark. Heard of Mark's gospel? It is considered by scholars that Mark's gospel was really a dictation to Mark of what Peter remembered about Jesus. So what are these basics? Well, actually, you find them in the early part of 2 Peter. And it starts off in verse 12 where we started this morning. Therefore, That means you better have a look at what was said before we started this morning. And what are the basics? Number one, always remember the truth about Jesus. And Peter says in verse 1, Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. Always remember that about Jesus. He is God. And that's under attack greatly today. In theological colleges even. But look, it's true. The Bible says it. So you can trust it. We're told in Colossians, aren't we? In him lives all the fullness of God in bodily form. Jesus is God. But then there's something else, isn't there? We're told not only is he God, but he's Savior. And we've been singing about that this morning. This great God became a human man. And he went out to Calvary's cross. Why? So that he could become our Savior. He laid down his life. He paid the price for our sin. Here is the basic fundamental of Christianity. Jesus Christ is both God and Savior. The second thing that's fundamental, Peter says, always remember what God has done. And he reminds us that salvation, eternal life, being saved, whatever you term you like to use, comes from the righteousness of Jesus, not from our own efforts. And our faith in Christ gives us everything we need for life and godliness. When you think about the great things that God has given us, so that we could remember what God has done. He's given us this book. Do you ever read it? Huh? I mean, apart from coming to church? Oh, gosh, I hope you do. Because you'll be reminded of what God has done. And also, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit, God, comes to indwell in our lives. And Jesus said he was giving us that as a gift so that he would be our teacher. You know, many people say, oh, look, I don't bother reading the Bible because it's too hard to understand. You know, if you're a real Christian, always remember that you've got the Holy Spirit living within you, and he's the interpreter. He's the teacher of the Holy Scriptures. And if you cry out to him, oh God, here's a passage I'm struggling to understand. You want to try it sometimes, it really does work. God does teach you what the Holy Scriptures are saying. So remember what God has done. And the third thing of the basics is this. Remember what we must do. Oh, you got to do something to be saved? No. You can't do anything to receive eternal salvation, to receive forgiveness of sins, but to develop a strong Christian life. Peter says in about verses 6 down to verse 11, the things that we must see to it so that the Holy Spirit can develop certain characteristics in our life. Now, I'm not going to go over that this morning because next week, I think it's Andrew, he's going to be the developer of that theme. The things that we must be sure we are developing in our life so that we'll end up strong Christian people. And Peter says, before we start in verse 12, 11, and if you do these things, that is, remember who Jesus is, if you always remember what God has done and that He alone can save you, and if you practice daily those things that God wants us to develop, we will have a strong entrance into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but you know, it's my desire that when I reach the gates of heaven, I'm not going to get in there and, oh man, I made it. I want to go there strong, don't you? And some years ago, Grace and I walked around Lake Waikaremoana, and we started at the Rotorua end. I understand that's the wrong way to start, but I don't think it is. Anyway, we got to the last hut early, and the next day you have to walk downhill down the big bluff there. What's it called? Who knows? Panakiri, yeah, that's right, bluff. And man, if you had to walk up from the Wairoa end, it would be tough, that bluff. Anyway, we got to the hut and we got all spread out with our group, and we thought, well, nobody will ever arrive now, it's dark. And about, 7 o'clock in the evening, a whole group came, and they were a group from the Wellington University, and they stumbled in and we made room for them and made sure everybody had a bed. And they said, hey, now you'll need one more bed here because Big Dave is still coming. And I don't know, but he got there about 8:30 at night, and I can still see him just stumbling in, and oh man, he was real had it. He just made it. I've never forgotten. Man, I hope I don't get into heaven just like Dave entered our hut at Panakira. Hey, listen. How's your Christian life going? Richard, how's your life going? Don't forget the basics. Because if you do, you'll never develop as a strong Christian person. Peter says, the other guard that you can put up is to know the sureness of the message about Christ. And Peter points out two witnesses that give sure evidence, especially to this fact, that Jesus will return with great honor and glory. Look at verse 16. He says, we didn't make up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes. And verse 17 carries on, when He received honor and glory from God the Father, we heard the voice from the majestic glory of God. This is my beloved Son, who brings me great joy. Here's something that makes us sure about who Jesus is. He's more than just a mere man. And Peter and two of his friends once saw something that they never forgot. I'm going to read it to you now from Mark chapter 9. You listen. This is what he's referring to. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Now remember, Peter was telling Mark what he remembers about Jesus. So it's pretty important. That's why I chose Mark. Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter explained, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Stephen, you were right last week when you said it would have been better sometimes to shut up. But he always had something to say. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly beloved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah was gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. That must have been some experience, must it not? His face shone like the sun. This is more than a mere man that they were looking at, was it not? He was a real man, but he's the great, majestic king. Let me read 2 short passages from the last book in the Bible. Chapter 1 of Revelation and verse 13. Listen to this. "And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean's waves. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp 2-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance." That's a picture of Jesus in all his glory and honor. And you know, it all makes me cry sometimes. People say, "I'll tell Jesus where to get off if I ever have to meet him in judgment." Do you think you can stand up against this person? He's so glorious, he's so powerful, he's so wonderful. When the great apostle John saw this vision, he fell at his feet as a dead man. I'll read you another passage, can I? Found in Revelation chapter 19, this one, verses 11 to 16. Talking about the future days. "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war." And listen to this. "His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God." Who's this talking about? Obvious, eh? Jesus. "The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest pure white linen, followed him on a white horse. And from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. And on his robe and his thigh, he's got a name written. And here's the name. Listen to it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Peter says, you can have every confidence. There's absolute sureness in what we tell you about Jesus. Because I saw and I heard on the holy mountain, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And so Peter goes on to say, look, the second thing that can give you confidence about the message of Jesus is the Holy Scriptures. In verse 19 of 2 Peter 1, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote. We've seen from the scriptures this morning something of the honor and glory described in the Bible that will be seen when he returns, and even can be seen by the eye of faith this morning. I want to read to you two passages from the prophets that Peter would have been referring to. The first is found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And Daniel says, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given all authority, honor, and sovereignty over all nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. Listen to this. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Say. I think they're powerful words, and nobody will be able to stand against this great majestic king. Some weeks ago when Daniel was speaking to us, he read from Psalm 2. Those words from Psalm 2 have been resounding in my ears ever since. Listen to some of them. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. One of the times when God laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. King is King Jesus. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal Son, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of your activities. For his anger flares up an instant, hear the final words of Psalm 2. But what joy for all who take refuge in Him. What do you think of Christ? Does anyone in history or present day come anywhere near Him? What do you think? Some have shown in history great wealth, wisdom and power, but nothing like Jesus. Listen to His words. I am He that liveth. I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. No one else has ever conquered death but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, that is real mighty power, is it not? It sure is. And that's why the resurrection is so vital to the Christian faith. It loses its power if there's no resurrection. He's Lord. The great Apostle Paul says, everything is worthless in the end compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Richard Print, or whatever your name is, what do you think about Jesus? Is anybody to be compared with Him? And sometimes, if you're like me, you get so concerned and so immersed in all sorts of things that you think are so important. But is there anything or anybody more important than Jesus Christ? Because He's the one who can save anybody if they will trust Him from their sin. He can give you in this life a real reason for living. And when it's all over, a great mansion. That's what He promises. That's the great majesty, the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I heard a Mary Girls choir this morning. They sang a song that was real popular in my early days as a Christian. Listen to them. Lift up your head to the King of Kings. Bow before Him and adore Him. Sing to His Majesty. Let your praises be pure and holy, giving glory to the King of all kings. Let's all bow our heads for half a minute. I'd like to give you this opportunity just to silently tell Jesus right now what you think of Him. Give glory to the great King of Kings. Lord Jesus, you said when you were on earth that if you were to be lifted up, you would draw all people to yourself. Father God, as we think that your Son made that great sacrifice at the cross, it draws us to him because we could have never paid the price ourselves. And Lord Jesus, this morning, as we lift you up as the great King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the coming again, the great Majesty, oh, draw our hearts to you, that we might live out our days ever serving you, ever honoring you, not forgetting you. Oh God, lift up the name of your Son among us, we pray. And in his name we do it. Amen.